Take your Bibles and go to the book of Luke chapter number 2. This morning we'll read the Christmas story, but I'll ask that you follow along silently. I will read verses 1 through verse number 20. I realize it's a lot of verses, but if you would please just follow along there silently. I'll read them alone out loud. Luke chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 1. We'll read all the way through verse number 20. It is a lengthy passage of Scripture. Luke chapter number 2. The Bible says, beginning in verse number 1, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And it was so that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." Verse number 10, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them in the heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the sayings which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in their heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the birth of your Son, Lord, all year long. But in a unique way today, Lord, we draw special attention to the greatest gift that was ever given us. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the gift of salvation, the gift of your Son. Lord, it's always wonderful to be a Christian, but this morning, may as we listen to the truth that's been prepared for us, may we maybe allow that to endear us a little bit closer to you. Help us to, Lord, not allow the commonality of this story to become drawn away from the attention of the truth that will be presented. But Lord, may the truth this morning allow us to see you in a different light, to love you a little bit more. Lord, we ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. And again, we have, about a dozen and a half folks out in the parking lot today. And I'm thankful for that. So as you look, folks, y'all don't have to be crazy to come here, but it helps. But do me a favor, take your meds. yeah, especially those of you that have a horn outside. Oh, I love it, I love it, I love it. I enjoy the Christmas season. As Brother Josh read this morning, let me share with you a little personal family tradition, but for the last, 31 years that my wife and I have been married, every Christmas morning or sometime throughout the day on Christmas, we would read Luke 2, verses 1 through 20. Some years, as the kids were very small, either my wife or I would read it. As the kids got older, sometimes everybody would take a little part of it and read it. Sometimes as the kids got a little older, we would pick one to read it, and we switched it up a little bit, but for every year, for over 30 years, every Christmas morning, that's our tradition. Just hearing him up here reading that, it brought back some memories. But I enjoy the Christmas season. We don't know the exact date that Jesus was born. All right. Was it December 25th? I don't know. Was it May 23rd? It would have been nice. That's my birthday, but probably not. All right. I know this. Who cares? At least we've picked a date to celebrate it. It was only known to a few people. A little couple who had the child and some shepherds. It was not a big event. It was a very quiet event. And a very few select people that knew about it. May I say this? There's a lot of representation that we could give, and I've heard a lot of these things. All the lights that we decorate with point back to Jesus being the light of the world. The trees that we decorate are a picture of Calvary as Jesus decorated Calvary for us for our salvation. The songs that about that lowly birth in a barn, what a wonderful thing. The gifts. Was Jesus putting on is a picture of Jesus as the gift of God for our eternal life. But you say, preacher, what was Christmas really all about? Well, Jesus came to earth to be robed in flesh so that he could live our righteousness so we could go to heaven. Whew. What a wonderful time of year. I know that we sinful humans have commercialized it. And there's a lot of profit that's being made because of Christmas. You can choose to focus on that and ruin your Christmas, but I don't know about you. I'm just going to focus on what Jesus did. I'd rather focus on Christ, not the corruption. I can get irritated with the corruption, but if I look in the mirror long enough, I can get irritated with my corruption too. I would rather us focus on Christ and the main point of Christmas. The main point of Christmas is not money. It's not gifts. It's not how much family we get together and be with. It's not giving and receiving of gifts. The real main point of Christmas is that God robed himself in flesh that could die, so that we could live forever with him in heaven someday. You see, that is what the birth of Jesus Christ was all about. The Bible says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. But if you went all the way down to verse number 14 in John chapter 1, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us.
Amen.
And we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I want you to notice something. Jesus did not come to earth to be man. He came to be flesh. Jesus has always been the man part of God. If you went back to Genesis chapter 1, let us create man in our own image. In the image of God created he him, both male and female. Jesus has always been the man part of God, but he was the man part of God without sin. See, Jesus could not come to earth and be here and just die at Calvary. He had to be robed in flesh that was sinful, but he did not have man's blood. He had God's blood. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit of God in the womb of a virgin, the only time that's ever taken place. By the way, the Catholics have it wrong. Mary was not conceived without sin. She was not the Immaculate Conception. Jesus was, not Mary. By the way, they say, well, she was special because they said, blessed art thou among women. Yes, but if you go back to the book of Judges and a lady named Deborah, God said of her, blessed art thou above women. She had a higher ranking than Mary did. Everybody doing okay?
Right.
You see, Christmas is not about a young couple having a baby. Christmas is about Jesus. Christmas is not about a virgin lady. It's only about God robing himself in flesh to live our righteousness and pay our sin debt so that we could one day go to heaven. Christmas is not about buying gifts. It's, and by the way, it's not about going into debt just to appear like you love somebody. Christmas is not about trees and decorations inside and out. It is about the birth of our Savior. You see, again, I'm not opposed to the decorations, the gifts, and all the things that we do at Christmas, and I'm surely not opposed to all the food. Glory to God in the highest. I knew it was coming. I just had to wait for it. But here's the thought that I want you to get for today. What a precious truth that I want to share with you. Christmas is heaven coming to earth. Christmas is a little heaven on earth, so that we on earth could go to heaven. We could say Christmas is a little heaven on earth. I want to give you three thoughts today. By the way, I had this message prepared weeks ago. Not totally finished, but prepared long before I knew my mother would be there. Long before I knew Keith and his dear wife would be there. Before Jean's husband would be there and others that I know. But I want you to pay attention today because I think it'll be a blessing to you. Jesus, number one, brought what he had seen in heaven to earth. Have you ever thought about the heaven on earth that Jesus brought with him, Brother Mike? He had been there. Jesus lived eternity past in heaven. He had seen it all. He helped create it. John chapter 14, verse number 1, the Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. How did Jesus know that there were mansions in heaven? Because he left there to come here to see us. He brought to us what was in heaven and gave us a little glimpse of what heaven is all about. He talked about mansions. He talked about his Father being there. He talked about angels being there. Many, 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 many other things. I don't have time to go through and tell you everything that he talked about. But may I say this? He spoke with authority because he had seen it. Hey, I can teach you about heaven because of the authority of the Word of God, but I haven't seen it yet. And anybody that comes to you and says, well, I was there, I saw it, wrong answer. They did not. Well, I saw a great light. Okay, I'm glad you saw a light. But that doesn't mean you were in heaven. I hate to disappoint you. You say, well, I had a near-death experience, and I just had this overwhelming peace. Well, you may have had an overwhelming peace, but it doesn't mean you saw heaven. We know that Jesus saw it. He didn't die to see it. He was birthed here so that we could see it. He had always been there from the beginning. Listen to this. Heaven is not sitting on clouds sprinkling spoofle dust everywhere. Heaven is a real place. Heaven is just as real as earth is. This may not be the appropriate terminology to use, but we would understand it. I personally believe that heaven is just like planet Earth to a certain degree. It is just as tangible and just as real as a real planet would be. By the way, that's God's consistency, is it not? God's consistency would be if man is here on a spherical globe, an Earth that is got the right atmosphere. I think if he could do it once, he could do it again somewhere else.
That's right.
You see, heaven has real streets. Heaven has real people there. Heaven is not sitting on a cloud with wings and a white robe, sprinkling a little spoofle dust and fairy dust everywhere, stringing a harp and singing, ooh. Heaven is a real place. When you die, you don't become an angel. The angels were before man. You just change addresses. You drop your sinful nature and get there if you were saved, and you are the same personality that you were there, minus the sinful portion of it. You see, Jesus was telling us what was there because he came from there. He had to be born in Bethlehem's manger so we could get there. Have you ever wondered why Jesus had to spend 33-ish years here on earth? How come he just didn't leave heaven and come here and get crucified and resurrect 3 days and three nights later? Because the Bible says that you're not just saved because your sins are forgiven, but you have to have the righteousness of God added to your account. And it took Jesus 33 years living in a body that could sin without yielding to sin to live our righteousness for us so that we could have his righteousness put on our account. That's called the imputed righteousness of Christ. See, when a person trusts Jesus Christ as their Savior, not only do you have your sins forgiven, but God washes them away, but he adds to your account the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's not just the absence of sin that gets you to heaven. It is the presence of righteousness. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans chapter 10 says, they, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. That's why you don't get to heaven by what you do. You can't get to heaven by joining this church. You can't get to heaven by being baptized. You can't get to heaven by your good deeds, your alms deeds, your good works. No matter what you do, you say, why? Because the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, our righteousness is as filthy rags.
That's right.
Everything we do is tainted by sin. Even our good works are sinful. It took the righteousness, the sinless righteousness of Jesus Christ to be added to our account so that we could get to heaven. Well, may I say this? Jesus came and robed himself in a body just like yours and mine, and he lived the life he wanted us to live before man sinned in the Garden of Eden. You see, Jesus gave us his word so that we could prepare for heaven. He had seen it. He had been there. He brought it to us. And then he gave us his word and told us about it so that we could look forward to it someday. By the way, we read in Luke chapter 2, verse number 14, glory to God in the highest. Guess where that's at? Heaven, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away, where? Into heaven. They had come from heaven, brought the news to earth, went back to heaven. Say why? Because they knew Jesus in heaven. They understood it. Folks, do you realize that as we celebrate Christmas this Friday, it is a little bit of heaven on earth? It's a little bit of heaven on earth. He left heaven, came to earth, and went back there so that we could get there to be with him someday. What a precious, precious thought. Number two, I love this. Jesus in Bethlehem's manger brought the spirit of heaven to earth. Jesus not only brought, word pictures from heaven to earth because he had been there, but he also brought the spirit of heaven to earth. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse number 3. I'm going to read a fairly long portion in the middle of my message here, but we're going to start looking in verse number 3. You would know them as the Beatitudes, but watch this. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Watch this. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward where? In heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets. And if you read later in these chapters, you'll find out he's talking about when a person gets saved, that the Holy Spirit of God moves in, and we get that Spirit of heaven by the Holy Spirit of God. You see, turn to 1 John chapter 5. Go back to the book of Revelation and turn back a couple pages and you'll be there. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 7. I'm about to shout. 1 John chapter 5, look at verse number 7. For there are three that bear record where? In heaven. Now watch this. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Now look at me. I already quoted John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same as in the beginning with God, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That Word is Jesus Christ. So we have God the Father, we have Jesus Christ, and we have the Holy Ghost that are in heaven, correct? According to 1 John chapter 5, verse number 7. Look at verse number 8. And there are three that bear witness on the earth. The Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. The water and the blood. You say, what is that? That's the birth of Jesus. The Spirit came by Jesus, and that came because of a physical birth. You're born by blood, but what happens in the mother's womb when a baby's born? The water has to break. Correct? Look at verse number 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. In other words, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God moves into your life. It is not an experience. I've said this before, I'll say it again. We trust what Jesus Christ did for us to get us to heaven. Biblically speaking, Jesus does not move into your heart. The Holy Spirit does. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father right now. But he left us the Holy Spirit, and he indwells every believer. See, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We are born, John chapter 3, again, not by a physical birth, but by a spiritual birth. And when we get saved, the Bible talks about a regeneration, a regening. And the moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, watch this, you are regeneticized with the eternal genetics of God by the Holy Spirit of God. The word regeneration is the word regeneticize. And when you get saved, you go from trusting your own righteousness to trusting the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And God immediately forgives your sins, adds the righteousness of Jesus to you. The Holy Spirit regenes your spirit, and your dead spirit becomes alive by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. By the way, that's why once you're saved, you can never lose your salvation, because you can't get unborn.
That's right.
I'm 53 years old, and I can't be unborn from my mom or dad. There were times my dad said, I brought you into this world, and I can take you out, but he couldn't keep me from being his son.
Right.
Not that you ever had that problem, but I had it more than once. May I say this? Once you get saved, you can't lose your salvation. By the way, just because you can't live the entire Christian life doesn't mean you're not going to heaven either. None of us can, because we're all sinners. Who are we to judge somebody else? How about we just take a good long look at ourselves? And for some of us, that would be hard. Might break the mirror. Look at 1 John chapter 4. We were there in 1 John chapter 1. Look at 1 John chapter 4. I want to show you another verse here. I'm about ready to shout. 1 John chapter 4. Find it here in just a second. Look at verse number 13. Hereby we know that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his what? Spirit. Notice it's capitalized, not small. That's in reference to the Holy Spirit. He has given us his Spirit. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit indwells you, it doesn't mean you fall on the floor and flop around like a dead fish out, or like a fish out of water. Doesn't mean you start saying all the motorcycle names backwards, speaking in some unknown tongue. It does not mean that you got some supernatural gift that and you start getting tingly all over and start jibber-jabber. No, it happens just like when you got born the first time. You didn't even know it took place.
Right.
Shoot. I know I got born. I was there, but I don't remember it. It was just me and Mom. Amen? But I know this. Jesus, when we get saved, He gave us the Holy Spirit. That's why He told His disciples, I will not leave you comfortless. I will send the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, and He will indwell you. Matthew chapter 1, verse number 20. Let me read it to you. You don't need to turn there. I'll get there before you probably. But Matthew chapter 1, maybe I'll get there before you will. Good night. I don't even know where it's at. Matthew, there we go. Matthew chapter 1, verse number 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the what? Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost was in heaven. So that means when he was conceived by the Holy Ghost in the womb of Mary, when Jesus came, he brought the Spirit of heaven with him, which is the Holy Ghost. Thank God for Christmas. The birth of Christ was far more than just Jesus being born in a manger, but Jesus brought to us what he had seen from heaven, but he also brought the Spirit of heaven with him. And he left it with us so that we would understand it. Shannon, Keith, aren't you glad in the last week the Spirit of heaven was able to help you? Mrs. Diener and your precious family, good night. You've been through it this last week. They lost three family members in a matter of 3 days. Thank God for a place called heaven. Thank God for the Holy Spirit of God that gives us that peace. Because he gave us the Spirit of heaven. May I say something here? Jesus brought us the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of heaven. You don't get it by an experience, you get it by being saved. Amen. Getting saved gives us the Spirit of heaven. I've had many, 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 many people in the last many days say, Preacher, how you doing? How you doing? I'm doing well. Oh, I miss my mom. I miss my phone call at 7:15 every morning when I'd call her. But can I tell you something? My mom is doing okay. She took her last breath here on earth. But boy, when she took her next breath in heaven, she looked around and she said, Shazam, I'm standing up. I don't have any pain. And I'm going to run down this golden street. And I guarantee she ran. Heaven's just as real as earth is. It really is. This old world is so dark and nasty because it doesn't have a living spirit from heaven in it. See, a lost person has a body and a soul, but they don't have a spirit. It's dead. And it needs the birth of the Spirit to bring life. You say, why is church such a wonderful place when it's done the right way? Because it's full of light and it's full of the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus, in Bethlehem's manger, came with the Spirit of heaven and showed us how to live the life that he wanted us to live before we sinned in the Garden of Eden. That's what it is. Number three, and I'll finish. Don't put your shoes on yet, ladies. So, first of all, Jesus brought what he had seen in heaven to earth. Secondly, he brought the Spirit of heaven to earth. And I'm about ready to come unscrewed. Number three, Jesus brought the salvation of heaven to earth. He brought the salvation of heaven to earth. Luke chapter 19, verse number 10 says, For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Acts chapter 4. Look at Acts chapter 4. Jesus has just gone back to heaven after Calvary and the 40 days here on earth afterwards. They've just been through Pentecost. And in Acts chapter 4, look at verse number 12. The Bible says this. Peter and John are preaching. And it says in verse number 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Guess what that name was? It wasn't Peter. It wasn't John. It wasn't the Pope. It wasn't the pastor. It was the name of Jesus, because later you find out they commanded them to speak no more in the name of Jesus. And they said, "Too bad, dude, I'm preaching about Jesus. Doesn't matter where you put me, how much you beat me, what jail I'm in, I will preach Jesus." Can I tell you something? This old world wants nothing to do with the truth of Jesus Christ. All the gods, they're all the same. They just have different names. That's not true. That's a lie out of hell. Say, "Preacher, are you upset about that?" Yes, I am. Mohammed does not equal Jesus. Buddha definitely does not equal Jesus. I don't care what name you give it. I don't care what tree you pray to. It is not Jesus Christ. Why is it the only name that you can't preach in communist and socialist countries is the name of Jesus Christ? That ought to tell us something. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, the Bible says this in verse number 8. "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this was the purpose of the Son of God, was manifest," that means brought to fruition, "that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth is not of his brother." You say, what is that? That means, does that mean, preacher, once you get saved that you never sin? Nope. Brother Josh, why don't you stand up for a second? I'll let you represent a sinner. You do it very well. Now watch this. Here's a young man that, as a young child, got saved. Trust me, he has sinned a lot since he got saved. Say why? He has my blood in him. Guaranteed, he's done a lot. But can I tell you something? The moment he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior, his sin was washed away, past, present, and future. And the righteousness of Christ was added to his account, so that when God, Brother Randy, looks at Brother Josh Bush, he sees the record of Jesus Christ. He doesn't see his sin. He doesn't see his unrighteousness, because the sin's been washed away and the righteousness has been added to his life. And it all happened because he trusted Jesus Christ as a Savior, not because he lived a good life.
Thank you, Lord.
Have a seat. Can I tell you something? You don't get saved by being good, and you don't keep your salvation by being good. Good is relative based on what we are. So, well, we'll keep the law. Okay, which law? Well, the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments had absolutely nothing to do with going to heaven. Ten Commandments were civil law. It was the Jews' constitution, basically. It has absolutely nothing to do with going to heaven. By the way, that's why in America we put it in the courthouse where it should be. Because it was an act of civil law. You could keep all of the Ten Commandments your whole life and die and go to hell. Say why? Because that's not the law. According to the book of Romans, it's a law of sin and death. And you can't conquer the law of sin and death without Jesus, because he came to fulfill the law. He lived our righteousness so that we did not have to come to the law of sin and death. And when we die, that we did not face the same punishment for our sin as Satan did. God did not send anybody to hell. Hell was made for the devil and his angels. But it's, by the way, that was created before man. When man sinned in the Garden of Eden, who was he listening to? The devil. And when man sinned, he committed the very same sin that Satan committed. Pride.
I want to be God. I don't need God. I can be God in my own life. Did he not say that you shall be like gods, knowing good and evil? In other words, you could be God and decide right and wrong, good and evil for yourself. Boy, isn't that the truth today? Whatever you want to believe, it's okay. Folks, I didn't wake up this morning to decide if I was a man or a woman. That was decided over 53 years ago. It's all done by plumbing. We don't decide what our gender is. Did you know when I was born, I didn't decide what my skin color would be? By the way, we're not defined by our skin color. We're defined by how we live our life. I'm colorblind physically as well as spiritually. People's soul and people's spirit have no color. Let's quit judging people based off what we see. How about we do what God sees? I love this. Jesus brought the salvation of heaven to earth. Listen to this. Getting saved then has nothing to do with what we can do. It's about accepting what he did for us. If he brought salvation from heaven to earth, it's not gotten by us and what we do, because we're not righteous enough to get there on our own. Salvation had to come from heaven because all of earth and man have been corrupted by sin. If you went to Genesis chapter 1, you find out in Genesis chapter 2, in Genesis chapter 3, you find out that God not only cursed man because of sin, but he cursed the earth. Now watch this. That means nothing on earth could merit eternality in heaven because it's been cursed by sin. I don't care how good you live, you're not going to live good enough to get to heaven on your own. I don't care how much righteousness you think you have, it's as filthy rags in God's mind. Say, what's a filthy rag, preacher? In the Old Testament days, along a highway, they would have posts dug into the ground, and they would have a rag hanging on it for people that had leprosy. Those people, as they would walk from point A to point B, let's say they had all that pus and blood and nastiness and body parts hanging there, they would walk to one of those rags and they would wipe all that pus off so it didn't keep running down. And leper after leper after leper after leper would use those same rags. They would have body parts hanging on them and skin and pus and blood and pieces of bone and everything of their bodies falling apart. God said, even the good we do are like those filthy rags because we're sinners. Can I tell you something? You're not good enough to get it. It took Jesus bringing it from heaven to us. That means we must do what he said to get it, not what we say. Religion is man telling God how God must accept man. According to the book of Jude, that's called "Thou hast gone in the way of Cain." Cain told God how God had to accept him. God said, I don't have respect to that. I'll give you eternal life, but you've got to do it my way. And Cain said, I won't do it. Religion is man telling God, well, I'll go to the church and get baptized, and you have to accept that. No, 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 no. There is no other way to get to heaven and no other name other than Jesus himself. Well, I'll go join the church. You can join the church. That doesn't make you a Christian. If you're born in a garage, it doesn't make you a car. Doesn't matter what building you're in, it does not define what you are.
That's right.
Everybody doing okay? It's not by your good works. Let me ask you a question. If you could get to heaven by what you do, why did Jesus have to come and pay the price for you? If you could get to heaven by your own righteousness, by joining a church, by baptism, by some ritual, by some other way, why did Jesus come in the first place? What you're saying then is what he did wasn't good enough and you got to add your part to it. He was sinless. You're a sinner. What can you add to it? You see, when you get saved, oh man, Brother Mike, I'm about to shout. When you get saved, you have the eternal life of heaven. You have the same eternal life as Jesus who gave it to you. Did you know I stand before you today just as saved as Jesus Christ?
Amen.
I can't lose it. I can't have it taken away. I've had it for 49 years, and bless God, I'll have it till I get to heaven and then have it for eternity. I am just as saved as Jesus Christ. And if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you're just as saved as Jesus. I don't care what man says. I don't care what religion says. I don't care what you think. God said you're just as saved as Jesus. I love the, keep them honking. Man-made salvation would involve man's works, man's attitude, or just making man part of it, and that is not salvation. Jesus had to bring salvation from heaven to man. That means we can't get it from man there by our works.
You're right.
Aren't you glad heaven's available? Miss Wally, Brother Fred, and my mama have had a good reunion. Tell you something, heaven's real. And Jesus brought the things that he saw from there because he had been there. He told us about it. He wrote about it in his words. But not only that, he brought us the Spirit of heaven and gave us the Holy Spirit of God, who could indwell us and live inside of us and guide us through the Word of God, through the preaching of the Word of God, through the man of God, and allow the Holy Spirit to guide us so that when we get there, we're more in tune. Bless God, Jesus came so that we could have eternal salvation from heaven. Not from man. Not from our own works. Not by our own righteousness. But because he brought salvation from heaven, he also brought the checkbook and paid for it in advance. It was paid past, present, and future. Guess what? There's no payment plan. He paid for it in full. You see, man would say, oh, you got to do something to get it. That means you're earning it. That's not salvation. Salvation is a free gift. I've heard people say this. Well, then if you've got it, then we know you got it by how you live. No. You're judging two separate things. Getting saved means something different than salvation. Now watch this. I taught this on a Wednesday night about 6-8 weeks ago. Getting saved means this. You were trusting your own righteousness to get to heaven. The day came where you heard the gospel and you realized you were not good enough to get there on your own. And you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. That turning from your own righteousness to the righteousness of Jesus Christ is called repenting. Now watch this. You went from trusting your own righteousness to trusting the righteousness of God. At that moment, you were born again. And the Holy Spirit of God moved inside of you. You were redeemed. You were regenerated. You were justified and made right in the sight of God. Now watch this. You were saved. But the word salvation means salvaged. Recycled. Watch this. How many of you have ever recycled something or pulled plastic out of the trash to put in the recycling bin? Okay? The moment you took it out of the trash and put it somewhere else to be salvaged, it was saved, correct? But it didn't get recycled till it went to the recycling plant. Quit judging whether it's been saved by whether it's been recycled or not. Everybody doing okay? We want to judge each other because we still have that God complex to where we look at somebody and say, well, I don't think they really meant it. Who are you to judge? Well, how much does somebody have to mean it before it's real? I can tell you what God said it is. The moment some sinner realizes they're a sinner on their way to hell, realize that Jesus Christ paid the price for them, is all they have to do is trust him. The moment they say, Lord, I'll trust you to take me to heaven, is the moment they're on the way to heaven.
That's good.
Well, they have to do it with all their heart. It's not in Scripture. You will never find that anywhere in Scripture. Say, why? Because it doesn't take all your heart. It just takes recognizing you're a sinner, lost on your way to hell, and you needed what Jesus Christ did to take you there. And if you're willing to accept it, he'll take you there. It's that simple. See, we want to judge everybody. We want to look at somebody and say, well, I'm not quite sure they're saved or not. Okay, who made you God? Who made you God? Salvation for heaven had to start in heaven, come down to earth in the form of Jesus, so that we could accept his gift and not earn it, but we could go to heaven and be with him as we celebrate this week. May we truly focus on the fact that Christmas is God giving us a little heaven on earth. He brought with us his word to tell us what was there. He brought with him the Holy Spirit that moves inside of us, that when we get saved, we have the Spirit of heaven in us. And he gave us salvation so that we could get there and be with him forever someday. Wow. Say, preacher, what's Christmas all about? You heard it today. You heard it today. Glory to God in the highest and on earth. Peace, goodwill toward men. Oh, there wasn't a lot of fanfare that first Christmas morning. Matter of fact, not many people even knew about it. They kept it quiet. It wasn't about a virgin. It wasn't about a young married couple. It wasn't even about some angels coming or a star. It was about a Savior who brought heaven from earth to earth so that earth could go back to heaven with him. What a wonderful truth. And may I say this, what a wonderful God.
Amen.
And by the way, you can't earn it. You can't get it by what you do. You only get it by what Jesus did for you and you accept it.
Amen.
Oh, I think church is important, but church doesn't take you to heaven. I think reading the Bible is important, but that alone does not take you to heaven. You have to trust him as your Savior. There has to be a time in your life where you realize you've trusted him as your Savior. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'll finish. Please be good to each and every one and make sure you have your eyes closed. I wonder who would say, preacher, if I die today, I know for sure I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You may put your hands down. Is there one that would say, preacher, if I die today, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know that. Would you raise your hand? All right. Somebody else? All right. I wonder who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, scores and scores of hands. You may put them down. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, if you raised your hand a moment ago and the Lord touched your heart, how about you come kneel at an old-fashioned altar and talk to God about it? If you can't kneel at the altar, you could stay seated there in your seat and talk to him just as well. But I think it's important for us to make a move if we can. If you don't know for sure you're going to heaven when you die, why didn't you come? If you've been saved and not baptized, we could take care of that today. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion and like to join our church, we'd love to have you. But let me remind you, it's an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, King James Bible-only preaching and straight-shooting church. But we'd love to have you.